going to be looking at several different scriptures this morning. First, in Luke 2, we read verse 25, where we learned of a man named Simeon, a very old man, a very devout man, a man that was a man of God. In verse 25, it says in Luke 2 that there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout. And it says here that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, some of us might consider that word consolation and wonder, well, what does that word exactly mean? What does that have to do with Christ and His coming into this world? Perhaps you've heard of a consolation prize. We used to call them movie prizes. Prize for someone that didn't get first, second, or third place. It was just a consolation prize. Why? Oh, to make them feel comfortable, like they weren't really that much of a loser, right? Consolation, in that sense, is a sense of peace. You see, at the time that this was written, the people of Israel were under the rulership of the Roman Empire. They had a history, a long history of being taken away prisoner, and even not even being able to rule their own land. They did not have their king any longer, but they were waiting for a consolation. They were waiting for a peacemaker. They were waiting for a king that will conquer, a king that will take care of all the ones that have come before them and have conquered them. And so we come to this particular passage where Simeon found and saw the consolation of Israel. This consolation, this man of comfort, was prophesied 700 years previously in Isaiah chapter 9. You'll turn with me now back to Isaiah chapter 9. Where we read in verse 6 and 7 some very familiar verses that refer to the birth of Jesus Christ, which is what we celebrate around Christmas time. Isaiah chapter 9, I'd like to read verse 6 and 7. It says, "For unto us a child is born. For unto us a son is given." Get some very specific things there. "And the government shall be upon his shoulder." And it gives some very specific names that will be given or that this child will be known by. "His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." In verse 7, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." This is the one that Simeon was looking for. This was the consolation, the peace of Israel that he was looking for. He was trusting the very word of God that was given to his people hundreds of years in advance. And when he saw Jesus Christ, he recognized that this prophecy was fulfilled. He recognized that this child, this son, was in fact the consolation, the peace, the Prince of Peace that was going to be given to the people of Israel. We consider all the different names here in Isaiah 9:6. He is called the Wonderful Counselor. He is called the Mighty God. He is called the Everlasting Father. But he is also called the Prince of Peace. Every single one of these names describes something unique to Jesus Christ as well as something desperately needed by humanity, by us. Tonight, or this morning, I really want to focus on the last phrase, the last name, the last title that is given to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is the Prince of Peace. You know, last Sunday morning, we had a wonderful cantata that talked about the joy that comes through the Lord. This morning I want to talk about the peace that comes through Him. You see, Jesus Christ was sent to meet and fulfill our most desperate needs, and one of those needs is peace. Ted Turner, who is the founder of CNN, is someone who has long desired something that is fairly elusive to everyone, that's world peace. If you were to turn on the television and see all the different episodes that are going on, all the Christmas episodes, there's one channel that has the 25 Days of Christmas. There's another channel that has a Christmas marathon with all the different Christmas stories. You've got the Charlie Brown Christmas. You've got Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Yeah, you've got all these different ones. And, of course, you have the nativity stories, and there's one out in the movie theaters even right now. But in all of these particular things, they talk about peace. They talk about joy. They talk about the excitement that comes when Christ entered into this world. But all you have to do is turn over just a few channels, a few clicks to watch the news. You're going to realize that we do not live in a world of great peace, do we? Not at all. We live in a world where there's great war, and great calamity, there's great problems and diseases all throughout. All you have to do is look just around the corner and you'll find tragedy there. Tragedy in our homes, tragedy in our churches, tragedy in our nation, tragedy in the nations of this world. This world is not a world of peace. That is why we so desperately need the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace is that consolation of Israel. He is the one that will bring that peace. Ted Turner desired world peace, as everyone seems to. In order to promote world peace once, he established the Goodwill Games. To enhance world peace, Ted Turner gave $1 billion to the United Nations. Several years ago, in 1993, he also held a competition to find a book that would provide a plan for world peace. However, after he had submitted that request in 1993, he announced to a gathering of contributors of all those different books that the competition was a failure, and no one won. Why? He said this, "With 10,000 manuscripts, we did not have one plausible treatise on how we could get a sustainable, peaceful future." Out of 10,000 manuscripts, not one person could produce evidence of a sustainable, peaceful future. Why? Because in our human condition and in our human minds, we are unable to come up with it in our own. Ted Turner, however, did forget to read one manuscript. The one we have in our laps before us. The Word of God. The Bible. This particular Bible, this particular manuscript, does have the solution for peace that will be sustainable, that will be lasting. And it is the prescription that comes through the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. What does this name given to Jesus Christ actually mean? Prince of Peace. The Hebrew word for peace is a familiar word. It is the word shalom. It means much more than just absence of strife and war, though that's a lot of times what we think peace is all about. We think as long as there's going to be no war, there will be peace. Rather, shalom envelops a greater sense, a greater meaning, in that it means completeness, it means wholeness, it means harmony, and it means absolute fulfillment. That is what the Prince of Peace came to bring. So this morning we're going to first consider the need for peace. The need for peace. Why is there a need for peace? It's because of sin. The reason why there is no peace is because there is sin in this world. In Isaiah 57:21, you don't need to turn there, but just a few pages over, it says, "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." Why is there no peace in this world? It is because of sin. When Adam and Eve were created and placed into the Garden of Eden, you know what? There was a time of peace. That was a genuine place and time of great peace and harmony and fulfillment. God and man were at peace. Man and nature was at peace. Man with each other were at peace. There was great peace and fulfillment and harmony there in the Garden of Eden. No wonder it was called a place of paradise. No wonder it was called a place where the Garden of Eden was, all the different waters flowed through this particular garden. It was a wonderful place because it was a place of peace. And it was a place of peace because it was a place where there was no sin. We know that that peace was broken very soon. That peace was broken when Adam and Eve both sinned against God, and the separation that took place instantaneously between them and God, what did they do? They clothed themselves and they hid themselves from the presence of God. There was no peace. Then what happened? God came and gave them their judgments and their punishments. And no longer was there the peace between man and nature. God was going to say, by the sweat of your brow, you have to work now. The ground is not just going to yield fruit for you. You have to till it. You have to work it. Now there was no peace between man and nature. And of course, we know what happened to their sons, Cain and Abel. There was no peace between mankind either. The very first murder Why? It all happened because of sin. Why do we have very little peace in this world? It is because of sin. We need peace because we are sinners. But what kind of peace is needed? Well, we do need to understand that there is a peace lacking in each of our hearts. I believe that peace within ourselves is desperately needed. And that lack of peace is because of sin. There is great evidence that people need peace in their hearts. There's evidence all around us. If you were just to go on the internet and find different examples of news stories of people that have recently killed themselves, suicides are up during this time of year. Why? Because there's no peace in the hearts of people. Evidence for this need of peace within is in the number of suicides in the United States and around the world. According to the Center of Disease Control and Prevention, approximately 30,000 people in the United States kill themselves every year. That's an amazing figure. 30,000 people kill themselves every year. About every 18 minutes, someone in this country intentionally ends his or her life. It is estimated that an attempt is made about once a minute. The real figure for completed suicides may be as high as 3 to 5 times the number, because a lot of suicides go unreported. According to the CDC, suicide was the 11th leading cause of death in the United States in the year 2000, the year that the last census took place. More people die from suicide than homicide in the United States. Between 1952 and 1995, the incidence of suicide among adolescents and young adults nearly tripled. Why? Because there is no peace in the hearts of people. Perhaps this morning you may not be having feelings or thoughts of suicide, but perhaps you recognize that there are feelings in your life, that feelings of emptiness and feelings of incompleteness, feelings where there is no peace in your heart. You seem to be looking all sorts of different places in this world, and you cannot find the real peace that you need inside your heart. Perhaps you feel like the Apostle Paul. If you turn with me to Romans chapter 7, Romans chapter 7, we read what the Apostle Paul, who in fact was a believer at the time, what he said about this innermost struggle for peace in their heart. Paul said in Romans 7, 23, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." And look at what he says in verse 24, "O wretched man that I am! O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Have you ever felt that in your own life? Have you ever felt an innermost struggle for peace? Because there is no peace, the Lord says, to a soul that is in sin. There is no peace for the heart of a person that is away from God, who is sinning against God, and even for a believer, perhaps, who recognized the struggle against sin, there is still a great need for peace in the heart of every person in this world. There is no peace because of sin. Perhaps you need peace in your own heart. However, there's another kind of peace that is often needed. Peace with others is often desperately needed. Peace with other people. We recognize that because of sin, Cain and Abel were enemies against each other. And Cain slew Abel, the very first murder. And from that time forward, even today, there has been a lack and a desperate need of peace between people, especially the people that we are closest to. Perhaps you see in your own life that there's a lack of peace. Perhaps there's a need for peace in your own life with other people. Even those that you consider to be the closest. People within your family. People that you're going to go visit today or tomorrow. Perhaps there are relationships that have been severed. Why is there a lack of peace within those close relationships? Because of sin. It's because of sin. We find in these relationships jealousy, covetousness, envy, adultery, hatred, theft, murder, gossip, bitterness. All these things because of sin. A group of academics and historians has compiled this information. Some of you might have read the Greenfield Reporter just yesterday. Mark Judy put in an article, and some of this information is very similar to that. Since 3600 BC, the world has only known 292 years of real peace. that is nation against nation conflict. 3600 B.C., so about 5,500 years, only about 292 years of peace. During this period, there have been documented 14,351 wars, large and small, in which a documented 3.64 billion people have been killed during that entire period of time. There is a great need of peace between people. James puts it this way in James 4:1. You don't need to turn there, but he says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? There is no peace amongst men because of sin." What other kind of peace is needed? Peace within your own heart, peace with others, but also peace with this world. This lack of peace, the lack of peace that we see with even the creation that God has placed us in, is because of sin. When God created man, He created man to live in a garden. As I mentioned, there is peace and harmony between him and the place God had given him to live and work. But when man sinned, the ground became cursed, and the ground opposes man instead of helping him. If you have a garden, you know what I mean. There's thorns and thistles. We see tornadoes and hurricanes. We see natural disasters. There's famines and droughts. Why? Because of sin. There is no peace in this world because of sin. Genesis 3:17, if you'll turn there with me for a moment. I'd like to read a few verses. Listen very carefully to what Jesus says, or what God says to Adam and Eve concerning sin and the effect that sin had upon their relationship with the world in which they lived. Genesis 3:17, God said unto Adam, "Because you have heard or hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." There is no peace with creation because of sin. There is no peace with each other because of sin. There is no peace within your own heart because of sin. But most importantly, the greatest need for peace is a peace with God. A peace with God. Any lack of peace with God is a result of sin. James 4:4 says this, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." One of the most shocking statements and truths of Scripture is that God has enemies. God has enemies. And the enemies of God are those who have sinned. How many have sinned? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Every single human being that has ever walked the face of this planet is an enemy of God because of sin. And even though sometimes in our lives we may have a feeling where there is no peace in our hearts and we need peace there. Sometimes we feel like there's a problem or a conflict between another person and we desire peace and restoration in that relationship. And sometimes we get frustrated because it seems like everything in the world is against us and don't seem to succeed in anything because there's no peace with the world. But how many times do we truly understand that the greatest need for peace in the life of any person on this world is the peace that they need with God? Because sin has affected us in great ways. It has affected our own nature. It has affected our relationship with people. It has affected our relationship with creation. But most importantly, it has affected our relationship with God, the Creator. And if we are enemies of God, we will not experience any peace in any of these other areas that we seek it. Peace is desperately needed. Peace is desperately needed. And that is why the good news of the gospel is that Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace, that is why He came to provide peace to those who desperately need it. If you will, turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Because we just looked at the need for peace, now we're going to consider the provision of peace. If you need peace, the only way you will receive that peace that you need is to come and see Jesus Christ, that child that was born, as the Prince of Peace for your life and for mine. Jesus Christ came to give peace. Zechariah, who was John the Baptist's father, believed that the Messiah would bring peace. In Luke 1:79, we read this. Luke chapter 1, verse 79. Zechariah is talking about the Messiah. He says that he is to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Zechariah here was prophesying that the Messiah would bring peace. Then look at in Luke chapter 2, verse 14. The angels sang of the peace that Jesus the Messiah, the newborn baby, would bring. Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest, they shouted, they sang. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. A little later on in Luke chapter 7, when Jesus Christ has already grown and was performing service and miracles in his ministry. In Luke 7, verse 50, the woman whose faith made her whole was told by Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. He told her in Luke 7, 50, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. You don't need to turn there, but in John 14, 27, when Jesus announced his departure, he said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus Christ can provide the peace that you desperately need because He is the Prince of Peace. Perhaps you're a believer here this morning and you have been experiencing troubling in your own soul. Perhaps you've thought about it like Paul did. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to help me with this and overcome this body, this death? Perhaps you've been struggling with sin in areas in your own life. Perhaps you don't know the Lord as your Savior. Perhaps you've never trusted in Him for salvation from your sin. How will you ever receive the peace that you need in your heart? It's through Christ. He is the one that says, peace I leave with you. What about the relationships that you have with others that seem to be just filled with conflict and there is no peace? Lord Jesus Christ says, I can give you peace. Jesus Christ can give you peace because we desperately need it. What about the peace that you need so desperately with God because of sin? It's because of Jesus Christ. He can provide the peace that you desperately need. He can provide the peace that you need in your own heart. Jesus Christ will establish peace, wholeness, and fullness within you. Turn back with me to Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35, again, a prophecy of what Jesus, the Prince of Peace, will bring. In Isaiah 35, verses 5 and 6, we read this concerning Him. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. We have here a picture of absolute peace and harmony and wholeness and fullness. And this is what can be provided for your heart if you come and trust and ask the Prince of Peace provided in your life. If you're experiencing a lack of peace in your heart because of sin, you must simply come and a personal walk in relationship with the Prince of Peace who will be able to provide that peace that you desperately need within your own heart. What about the peace that you might have or need with others? Jesus Christ can bring that peace between you and others that you so long for. Again, prophesied referring to Him in Isaiah chapter 2. In Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4, it says this about Him, and He shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. He is the solution to the wars in this world. Even the conflicts in your own families. Now, of course, this is talking about a time in the future where there will be no wars, where Jesus Christ Himself is literally reigning and ruling over a kingdom in this world. But before that, Do we not trust in Him to produce a peace among the conflicts within our own families, within our own churches, within those others that you may have conflicts with? He can provide it. We must trust in Him for it. There was once a young soldier that was going off to fight in World War II against the Japanese. As his father put him on the train and waved goodbye, the father turned with bitter tears and said, "If my son is killed, I hope every Jap in the world is killed." A year later, his son was killed. You can imagine what he must have felt. But during that year, his once bitter father had received the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. He trusted in the Prince of Peace. Soon, a $10,000 life insurance policy was given to his father because his son had passed away. The father, who had once hated every Japanese on the face of this earth, did a surprising thing with the money. He sent all of it to the Southern Baptist Foreign Mission Board for missionaries to the Japanese. How could he do that? How could someone who had a great hatred and conflict toward others, an entire nation, an entire nationality, how could he do that? How could he have that peace in his heart once again? It's because he received the peace in his heart that only the Prince of Peace could provide. We need to understand that the Lord can provide the peace that you need with others because He is the Prince of Peace. He can also provide the peace with the world that you and I need. In the Messiah's future kingdom, man will live in harmony with creation. Isaiah 11:6 says this, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf with the young lion, and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them all. And the cow and the bear shall feed together. Their young ones shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like an ox. And a sucking child shall play in the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain," the Lord says. "For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." You may be frustrated from time to time in your life here in this world. But if you trust in Christ as the Prince of Peace, there is a future for you where it will be fulfilled. It will be in harmony. You will not be frustrated because you will be serving and pleasing Him for all eternity. The Lord can provide the peace that you need with this world. But most importantly, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, can provide the peace that you need with God. Because of sin, you are an enemy of God. But as it says in Romans 5:1, we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:19 says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." If you have the Prince of Peace in your life, even as Simeon was looking for the consolation of Israel, if you are looking for peace and consolation in your heart, in your relationships, in this world, but most importantly in your walk and relationship with your Creator God, it will only come through faith and trust in the Prince of Peace, Christ Himself. If you need peace in your life, the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace is the one, the only one who can provide it. So if you ask or if you hear people talking about peace today or tomorrow at Christmas time, think about the one who only provides peace. "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." There is no peace because of sin. There will be no peace because of sin. But there can only be peace through the one who can provide that peace, the Prince of Peace. And the Prince of Peace has come. The consolation of Israel has come. You no longer have to struggle in your heart because the peace that passes all understanding can keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. No longer do you have to struggle within your own heart because you can have that peace that comes through the Lord. You no longer have to live with conflict constantly with family and friends and people within the church. Why? Because the Prince of Peace has come in order to reconcile relationships and restore people. You no longer have to live as a frustrated failure in this life because you know that if you live a life for Christ, that is the life that matters. That is the life that is fulfilling. It doesn't matter how much money you have in your pocket. It doesn't matter what position you have in this world. All that matters is that you have a position in the kingdom of the Prince of Peace. Most importantly, the peace that you most desperately need is the peace that comes through Christ with God. Do you have that peace this Christmas time? Pray in your heart the words sung that we can sing, "Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for you." If you ask the Lord to give you that peace in your heart, that peace with others, that peace with this world, and most importantly, the peace with God. That's what Christmas is all about. Christ is the consolation of Israel. Christ is the Prince of Peace. And peace is what we so desperately need. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you again for the peace that comes through Christ. We thank you that He is the consolation of Israel. I pray that we might be like Simeon, having considered Christ and seeing that He is the consolation of Israel. He is the Prince of Peace. He is thy salvation that our eyes have seen and our ears have heard about and our lives have been changed by. Lord, I ask that you might help all of us to submit to our Prince of Peace. Lord, even during the time where we took prayer requests, we recognize that there is a lot in this world and in the lives of even those sitting here that there's a great lack of peace. There's a great lack of peace in their own hearts. There's a great lack of peace within their relationships with other people. There's a great lack of peace within this world. But it all stems from the fact that there is a great lack of peace with God, our Creator. Lord, help us to realize that the Prince of Peace has come. The consolation of Israel and the consolation of Christians is already come. And that is why we celebrate Christmas. So Lord, I pray that this day we might experience the peace of God through Christ Jesus. When we look at that picture of the little baby Jesus in a manger, as we sing these Christmas carols, as we spend time with family, as we sit around the Christmas tree opening presents, that we might realize that Christ came so that we could have peace. Peace with God, peace with this world, peace with each other, and peace in our own hearts. So come to our hearts, Lord Jesus. Bring us that peace that you provide. Bring us that peace that you are known for. Help us to see our need for peace, and then help us to see how that peace is provided through the one that we celebrate in His birth. Lord, I ask now that you might bless this evening, bless today, bless tomorrow as we celebrate Christmas with family and friends. I pray for safety. Most importantly, Lord, I pray that there will be a peace in the hearts of your people because they trust in you. Lord, if they don't trust in you, help them to recognize that there will be no peace. They can never find it apart from you. Thank you, Lord, that we can have peace through Christ. In Jesus' name we pray.